Get Published, episode 21 for Sunday, December 27th, 2009. Hi there and welcome to Get Published. I'm your host, Mike Plested. For some of us, the holiday season is nearing an end. Others are right in the thick of it. Either way, we are nearing the end of another year. How was your 2009? Mine was an interesting one, made better by the addition of this podcast. I've really enjoyed putting it together for you to listen to. I hope you are taking some useful information away from it, just like I am. I look back at the past year, and I realize that I've accomplished a lot. I've written another book, several short stories, and I've got two podcasts going. But I haven't achieved that most elusive of goals. You know the one this show is named for. Happily, I have learned a great deal over the past 12 months, and I'm going to approach 2010 with a renewed sense of purpose. I fully intend to have at least one book sold, and hopefully, I'll have an agent, too. Thank you all so much for your support in 2009. I really appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to this show. My only holiday wish is that some of you will take the time to send me feedback, either via email, my voice line, or on iTunes. I would really love to know what you think of the show. And for this show, I'm doing something different. I was given a new digital microphone for Christmas, so I'm trying to record on the road. We'll see how it turns out. Thanks for listening.
Our lives echo across time and space, intersecting with the echoes of other lives. For every intersection, a new story is told. 10 lives are about to intersect. 10 stories are about to be told. Miranda is reaping what she has sown. Mitchell understands that there is no resisting fate. Clint dreams of forging a violent destiny. Elizabeth is about to make a discovery. Robin hides a terrible secret. Simon hasn't slept in 10 days. Sam is pursued by his nightmares. Susie is far from home. David has just been found. Jake is atoning for past evils. 10 ordinary people struggling to keep their sanity in an insane world. Emergent Publishing proudly presents Chinese Whisperings, The Red Book, a conceptual anthology of interconnected short stories from 10 emerging writers from around the world, coming soon in January 2010. For more information, check out the Chinese Whisperings website at ChineseWhisperings.com.
And now we're on to the feedback section of the show, and I'm afraid that you have been as busy as I, so there are no comments at this point. Instead, let me take a little bit of time and talk about three attitude changes that I've had in the past year. The first is a big one for me, and it is centered on the need for perfection. I'm afraid I'm pretty guilty of over-editing stories to the point where they would never get sent out. I now know that I have to be willing to walk away from my work and let it see the light of day. It may fail, but at least I'll have it out doing the rounds. I can't sell what I don't send. The next thing I've learned is that there are a lot of different ways to get my work seen. One specific thing I hadn't really considered in the past was using the contest route. There are writing contests out there to find if you really look hard enough. And as of this episode, I now have a flash fiction piece and one of my YA novels entered into two different contests. Maybe something will come for one or both of them. And we've also all heard the value of agents. And I used to think that it was a real waste of time to query agents because I really thought it was easier to get published than to get an agent. Now I know I can query both publishers and agents at the same time. In fact, I can query several agents at once. I don't think there's anything earth-shattering in any of these three attitude changes, but what is big for me is what they represent. and that's a more aggressive search for publication. Hopefully that added aggression will pay off for me and for you as well. And if you have any feedback, comments, or questions, or reviews, you can reach me via my voicemail line at 206-203-2031. Or you can email me at feedback@getpublishedpodcast.com. Whatever method works for you, I encourage you to send me any questions, comments, or feedback you may have. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, or FriendFeed, or Facebook, please do so. Just mention you've heard the Get Published podcast so I know where you're coming from. You can Twitter me at mplasted, or you can contact me via either FriendFeed or Facebook at Michael Plested. That's Michael spelled M-I-C-H-E-L-L. Whatever way you decide to contact me, let me know that you've been listening to the show and what you think about it. I'd love to hear from you.
2009 was a great year for Absolute Express, the newest imprint of Hades Publications, the largest Canadian genre publisher. It was the year they officially opened the doors, accepting manuscripts in the genres of science fiction, fantasy, and horror. It's also the year the Flash Fiction Challenge was born. With two anthologies already published under the Flash Fiction Challenge banner, Absolute Express is conducting its third challenge, with the theme and title of Thieves and Scoundrels. The rules are simple. The story must fit within the theme announced on the Absolute Express website. The story must be under 1,000 words, and it must be submitted by midnight Pacific Standard Time on January 15th, 2010. All the entries will be reviewed blind by a panel of judges, and the very best will be selected for publication in the next Flash Fiction Challenge anthology, due out in February or March of 2010. For more information, check out Absolute Express on the web at absolute-x-press.com.
Danger, incoming interview. Last episode, you will recall an excellent conversation I had with Linda Williams, who writes science fiction set in the Okol-Rel universe. You will probably also recall how she has opened her universe up to other writers for her anthologies. Today, I am glad to welcome one of those authors to this show. Christina Rundle has her BA in English with an emphasis on creative writing. She writes horror, urban fantasy, romance, and epic fantasy. The short story Growing Season for Opus 5 is her first sci-fi piece to be published. When she's not writing, she enjoys reading, gardening, movies, playing zombie video games, and her current newfound hobby of making YouTube videos. This is a great interview from a new author, and I hope you'll enjoy it.
I have to agree with that. There's a lot now that agents don't have to respond back to your letters. So it's kind of, in a way, if you send a letter and they tell you to wait a few months before you submit to something, to another agent or publishing house, but now the rules have changed that it's become kind of common that you don't, that the people on that end don't have to actually send you a letter back, then you could end up waiting for a very long time to hear back. So for about, I'd say like the last 2 years, I've been sending out mass letters. And I heard that as well, you can send out mass letters as long as you're not sending out multiple manuscripts. So if an agent says that they want to be the first to read it, and then you get another request, then you have to say that an agent's currently reading your work, and you will be able to get back to these other agents as soon as you find out what the agent is doing that is currently reading.
Right.
But
so what I'm hearing you say is you go and you ping a whole bunch of different agents to see if they're interested, and whoever responds first gets the manuscript, and then whoever responds second gets it, and so on after.
Yeah.
Got it.
Unless the ones that you're sending to don't request to be the only reader, then you're pretty good. You can probably send it out. If you get 3 letters back saying, hey, I want to look at your work, then you can send it out to all 3. But you definitely want to make sure you're not stepping on toes and that you're following, you're trying to follow the rules on this procedure.
Right. And it's interesting that you would say that, you know, they don't necessarily feel that they have to respond. I mean, most of the communication that I'm seeing these days is electronic. And how difficult is it to reply to an email saying, I'm not interested? And yet they respond even less than they would have in the past.
It's very true. Right now, from everybody that I've sent out to, I've been lucky. Most of my letters come back. Well, I don't know how lucky that is when they're writing back, hey, we're not interested, but I still think that it's been pretty lucky that I even got the letters back, because then I know that it just wasn't lost in the mail.
Right.
So there are some agents, or a lot of the agents I've been sending letters out to have been nice enough to respond back. I've only had maybe one agent that I never heard back from, so I just assumed that it was probably dead on arrival. You know, their side of it, they probably were thinking, this isn't what we want.
Right.
But also, too, I'm guessing that agents are getting really bad feedback from their rejection letters, and I think that might, in a way, probably unsettle them, where they don't want to send letters because they don't want to start a word war or a mail war back and forth.
Right. So are you sending your letters, are they actual physical letters that you're sending, or do you send electronic submissions as well?
I do both. But for the last story that I sent out, which was in November, I did it at the beginning of the month because I like to do NaNoWriMo just because it's just fun to do, and it's good to start projects, even if I don't finish NaNo, because I really want, I want the plot to stay. I don't want to mess the plot up by quick writing. Yeah. But I send my letters out around that time of the month because then I tend to not obsess so much about them coming back. And I like sending the physical letters because it feels more proactive to me to actually go down to the mail and push all the packages into the bin at one time and say, okay, beginning of the month, this is what I did. Now I'm going to do everything to not think about the letters that are going to be coming back. And last year I was received, my letters came back really quickly. So this year when I sent off my letters, I feel like I might be getting better with the query process because they haven't come back so quickly. So.
Right. Well, what kind of things do you do when you're doing a submission? Do you have a method where you're recording everything you send, or how does that work for you?
I just started recently keeping a log of the agents that I've submitted to. It does help to keep up with agents that if they have like a full client list, because sometimes I get letters that say, hey, our list is already full and we can't really take anyone else on. It's good to put notes like that into your logs so that you know how long you're giving between process, because you don't want to send them another letter next month if you have another story to go. So it's kind of good to keep up with what agents are currently looking and what agents have a full list.
Right. Sounds like you have a lot of experience submitting to agents. Are you submitting to publishers as well, or only agents right now?
I'm only submitting to agents right now because a lot of the publishing houses that I'm interested in having a relationship with, they only choose through their agents, through their agent relationships.
Right.
for books, and I've never actually visited a publishing house, but I heard stories about slush piles and that a lot of their readers get, I don't really know how much the process goes, but I just heard it's really hard because you have to make it through so many readers before you can make it onto some, like, the editor's desk.
Right.
So it seems like you have a better chance if you go through an agent than if you went through the publisher.
Okay.
Or try to get through the publisher just because of the slush pile.
Right. So are you looking at the agent relationship purely to get you into some of these publishing houses, or what kind of things are you actually expecting to get by having an agent?
I think for me, because I'm still really new as a writer, I don't really know the legal process for a lot of these dealings. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of hoping that an agent would be there as a soundboard, you know, give me good legal advice. I can ask them questions about my relationship with a publisher by signing contracts, the deals that are being made between the two. The agent, I'm hoping, will, I'll have a very strong relationship with the agent, and that they become a strong advice board for me. And, you know, because they're the first reader, so they tell you if something's not going to work, and you have to have a lot of, trust that your relationship with them is going to end up being beneficial for both of you.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Now, I think you've had some of your stories published in the past, haven't you?
Only one, actually. I got lucky on that.
Okay. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Growing Season was the short story I wrote for Linda Williams' anthology on her Oak Rill anthology. Well, she's got like a series going on. And I met her at the WorldCon convention for, I think that was like 2007 in Calgary. Was that 2007?
2008, I think. Yeah, it was last 2008. Year. Yeah.
Okay, 2008. See, that's another thing. I live in my room writing, so I miss a lot of my dates.
Got
but,
it.
Oh, I swear. But, yeah, I met her, and I actually had two of her books were given to me as a gift. So when I got home, I read her books, and I thought that her characters were just amazing, and her sci-fi was just, you know, if you like Star Trek and you like Star Wars, it's just, it's very space, you know, you read it, and it's my first real heavy sci-fi book that I've read. And she asked me to write a story to put in her anthology, and I thought that there was no way I could do this, because I think my stuff's a little bit, if it could be considered sci-fi, it's very soft sci-fi. And so I wanted to give it a try. And apparently she liked my concept, my idea I had, so I wrote it out for her. And it had to be based off of cats being introduced into her society. And I love cats. I can't keep them around because I'm allergic to them. But I love playing with them when I'm at other people's houses. So I was thinking about all the things about cats that are just kind of mysterious and wonderful and a little bit mystic. And I tried to bring that into her world and bring a story about growing up and living and life and rebuilding, because that's like what they were trying to do in the series, is they're trying to bring cats back into a society. So it was actually my very first hardcore sci-fi story I've ever written, and I'm pretty proud of it.
That's excellent. And what was the process actually to not only getting accepted, but you know, the back and forth to getting the story the way that both you and Linda wanted it?
I think it helps that I met her at the convention, because we already met face to face. We already talked about value of writing, and writing, when I was given the project, when she said, sure, I want to take a look at what you can do with this, I wrote it because it, it was a job. It was something given to me to create and work on in a timely manner for a project that she was creating. And I did that and gave her a product to look at right away. And I believe that that helped in her decision on if she wanted to use my concept or not within her anthology.
Okay. And was there a lot of edits to getting the story finished so that it was the way that it's going to appear?
Luckily, not too many. I think there was about two or three, and she had to send me a list of definitions for her world, because she recreated an entirely new world, and it was just so different from a lot of our concepts on sci-fi. So I had to use her her definitions and her books and some terms, terminology and space travel kind of concepts. Mm-hmm. I wrote it out. I wrote her, there was probably a bit of writing back and forth because I had to check with her to see if certain ideas would work with her novel and her world. And she would write back and say that this would work or this wouldn't work. And if there was anything that was slightly off with my world that would make it unbelievable compared next to what she created, then that had to be changed. But luckily there was just a few minor details that had to be redone. If you, you know, redone here, send it, she looked at it, okay, this part's fixed, but now you need to do this part.
Right.
There's just a very few of those. And then after that, she said that we're just waiting now for the book to come out, so.
Okay, and has the anthology been released yet, or is it still pending?
It's still pending. I believe she actually has one other anthology that needs to come out first, and then this one will be next.
Okay. So when you're doing your agent queries, are you already, I would imagine you're citing this as one of your published works then, yes?
Yes, definitely. If you have anything that has been accepted, it does help to mention that in your letters. I don't know, like, since I am not really in, I don't have an agent yet, so I don't really know the secret lives of agents, but it seems that they do want to know that you're serious about your work and that you are trying other avenues, you're trying to get your name out there. They want to know that you're as dedicated to your work as they're going to be, because it's definitely not one-sided. You have to, if you want this as a career, you need to work it as a career, and you need to be, you need to know what is going on in this type of world, the publishing world, and know how you can benefit yourself and benefit your publishers and your agent, and let them know that you're willing to do as much work as they are to get yourself out there.
Right. Well, and that's a really good segue. Can you tell me what kind of things you do to promote both your work and maybe even more importantly, yourself?
Okay, well, to start, it's kind of, I wouldn't suggest this to a lot of people because you can lose your first rights. Mm-hmm. But when I first started writing, I used to post it on the internet on a original story site where you can post your stories and people can review them and tell you what they think you're doing well or you're not doing well. And got a lot of feedback on that I'm really good at the storytelling. I just wasn't good at the delivery of the stories. The stories themselves had good concepts. I just needed to work on how I delivered that.
Right.
So I took quite a few classes, and I kept writing stories every year. I tried to post a new story so I could get more feedback, and the feedback has actually gotten stronger and stronger for that. So I let that go, and I started writing short stories, and I've gotten very close for a few other publications, but the direction of the theme for the books ended up going, anthologies ended up going for a different direction, so they didn't choose what I had originally sent to them.
Okay.
But instead of, like, I wouldn't say don't let that get you down, because it does, things do happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating. It is, gets very, very frustrating. And, you know, you end up sometimes, as a writer, you need to have a lot of, you need to have a lot of good reminders. You need, like, writer quotes on, you know, to keep your spirit just driven, because it does start to kind of eat at you. You start to doubt. You need to try to stay focused. You need to get a social network. It really helps to have writers as friends, agents as friends, editors as friends. And if you're the few that can manage to get publishers as friends, that's even good too.
Right.
But, and that happened. I've been going to conventions. I went to my very first convention, which was the WorldCon 2008. And I will be going to Romance Times, which is more of a kind of social networking circle. It's not so much a circle where you are going to actually meet and pitch to agents. It's more like you're meeting other people in the industry. So there's going to be a lot of writers there. There's going to be a lot of women who just love reading romance novels there. It's interesting what falls under romance, because I noticed a lot of writers that are going to be there that I wouldn't necessarily say that they were romance writers, but they're still gonna make an appearance. So it's definitely very beneficial to go to conventions, and also if you blog, I blog, I'm a blogger, but there's also LiveJournal, and I can't think of the other social networks that are around journaling. But those help. Those two, I think, are two of the bigger blogging communities for writers.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of agents who will keep updates on LiveJournal. I see more LiveJournal for agents than I do for Blogger.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a lot of writer friends on Blogger than I. So it's kind of both ways. So that helps. I recently got a Twitter, and I don't update it as much as I see other writers update it. So I'm not really sure, because a lot of people who are following me on that are also advertising things. So I don't know how much of a networking, I don't know how well that is unless you're already established. If you're already established, then it might be bigger than if you're just starting out, because starting out you tend to get, like me, a lot of people just wanting you to click on their sites, and if only there was a way to keep some of those more questionable sites from advertising to me.
Well, I know I spend a lot of time on Twitter, and Twitter is one of those things where you have to be, I won't say aggressive, but you have to go out and try to find the connections that you want. And yeah, I get those spammy type followers too, and I tend to block them just to keep them out of my hair.
I do too. I block, but then I got to a point where I'm wondering if my block list is going to be much bigger than my follow list.
Well, I don't even know if they keep, well, I'm sure they must keep a block list in the background, but yeah. I mean, it's, I think with Twitter, you need to find people with similar interests to you. And once you find one, you can kind of follow their network a little bit and see if there's anybody there you want to talk with, and just keep following the networks and trying to connect with them that way.
Oh, exactly. And that kind of feels like where I'm at right now. It started at the bottom, and then I just met one person, and then I met another person, and this person knows all of these people, and these people know another person, and then that person knows a whole another list. So
exactly.
I'm pretty sure I'm only probably 6 degrees of separation from my favorite authors. But hopefully one of these days I'm actually gonna be able to meet them face on. But well, it's a lot of networking. It's a lot of putting yourself out there, because people can't help you if they don't know what you need.
No, that's very true. So it sounds to me like you have a fairly well-defined career path that you want to follow to become a professional writer. Would that be fair?
I would say so.
And where do you, now that you've got your first story accepted, where do you see yourself going next?
I would have to say just keep trying, because they're really, I do want an agent, but that's not the beginning of an end. That's just a beginning of another really big beginning. It's just, it keeps going and going. So even if you make tiny goals for yourself, it never stops. You have to say, okay, I achieved this, but that's, you know, there's still so much more I need to do. So
to paraphrase you, what I'm hearing you say is becoming a professional writer is a journey, not a destination.
Right. Definitely.
I'm feeling very, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's very overwhelming, but it is also, that's why you need a lot of positiveness. You need quotes that will keep you going, you know, when you're feeling really low. I think I quote to myself some of the same things probably 3 or 4 times an hour on the days that I'm just like, oh, another rejection letter. And, you know, you have to keep going, and you have to realize that there's a lot out there that needs to be done. So if you can make little goals for yourself and reach them. You know, I'm trying to make some more conventions, because I have a lot of friends that go to this convention, but not this convention. So, you know, it's a lot of like, okay, well, this year I can go to this one, and maybe this year I can go to 2 of these. And then you keep trying to make it to conventions, because you do meet people, and you get more favor if you meet people face on. If you meet them, you know, they know that you're serious about what you're trying to do. And also you need to know a lot about your industry.
Right.
Because, you know, I meet a lot of people who don't know very much. And I try to lead them to a few of the sites that I've learned a lot from. But sometimes people don't want to do that. They don't want to know, and I think that could be very dangerous in this industry, because there are a lot of people who find it easy money for people who don't know their industry.
Yeah, like the one where people think they have to pay to get published, as opposed to the money flowing towards them.
Right, right. And it's really easy, because people are being kind of naive about the industry. And you know, I've been following this, I feel like I've been following it for so long, but I still don't feel confident enough to say what I do know and what I don't know. You know, it's like you have to constantly make sure you're updated on information. I love Writers Beware. Mm-hmm. I love that. Aww. They keep me updated on stuff I would have never known. You know, when I was younger, everyone kept saying, oh, You know, there's all these places you can get published, and you can just pay and get your book published. And now that I'm older and I've done quite an extensive research, vanity and print on demand wouldn't work for what I want.
Right.
It does work for some people, and you know, everybody has where they want to be and what they want to achieve, but that is not exactly, that doesn't fit in line to where I want my career to go.
Right.
So it helps to know what you're doing before you do it.
And what would your ultimate goal be as a professional writer at this point?
I would just like to make enough money to just keep being able to do it. Just right. Make it my lead focus. It'd be a lot nicer just to write, just to tell stories, just to, you know that maybe somebody had as much fun reading it as I had writing it. And it's very hard when you have a lot of outside stuff going on too.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get too many people arguing with you. I think that's probably the goal of most of us, is make enough money that we can do it full time. We don't have to get rich doing it, but yeah. So what would you consider is probably the hardest part of the writing business? And do you have any tips or tricks to get past them?
That's a good one. Because I can see, like, every year, I think my view on that would change. First, it was just writing a book. That was the hardest thing. And then writing the query letter, that just was just so difficult. And then the synopsis one year, I couldn't achieve that for the life of me. I couldn't figure out the secret of this this golden document that would get agents to read it. Now, I think the hardest part is trying to get an agent interested in my projects. And then I think also too on that line is not wanting to give up, because it's very difficult. And there's many times I think many people might feel like, what am I doing? And there's probably a lot more easier things to do in this world than try to achieve a writing career. But I think it just depends on what level you are in the field that is going to be your most difficult area. And the only thing that helps me get through it is my soundboard, you know, my little group that follows behind me and reminds me that they like what I'm doing and to keep trying and keep working. It also helps to have people to vent to. It helps to have quotes. I have so many quotes around my room, just reminders that, you know, this isn't easy, but to keep going. And my advice is to keep learning. Keep learning, because if agents are saying no, then you need to relook at what you're sending out. And you need to look at your letters, because it might be your query letter or your synopsis that's not snagging attention, or it could be your work, because I tried for like 2 years to try to get one book published, and then I gave up on it, and I wrote probably 8 novels since then, and I went back to look at it because I liked the idea, but I can see why agents said no to it. It took a few years, but I can seriously see what the problem was. So I think it helps to keep going and know your industry and read a lot of books on writing.
Right.
There's some quotes in there. Authors know their business. If you can find an author who's willing to give you advice, you know, they know what they're doing, and sometimes something they offer sticks, and you know what needs to be done.
No, that's very true. I've been to a few cons where I've talked to pros, and they always have something useful to say. So can you tell us what is next for you? Now that you've got one short story coming out, it sounds like you have a few novels finished, several short stories probably done. What are you just focusing on getting an agent, or have you got other things going as well?
Yes, I have one story that I am probably going to look at a small press for. There's tons of really good small presses, and I've been doing research on them, predators and editors. I always cross-reference to make sure that I'm not, you know, to know what I'm getting into before I start putting out the energy for such endeavors.
Right.
And I am planning on getting one story looked at for small press, and that might be a romance line. I'm not real sure yet how I feel about doing romance. It'd be nice if I could do it. I'm just, you know, I'm new at the romance scene, so.
Right.
I'm looking at small press for that, and I'm still pretty sure that I would like an agent for my fantasy and my urban fantasy and my epic fantasy work. I am working on two novels and a novelette and a short story right now. If you find that you have something that's not getting published, then you need to start the next project, because agents and editors and publishers want to know that you're not a one-book wonder. They want to know that if they're going to invest in you, that you're going to have more stories to put out, that you're going to be there to stay, and that you want to form a relationship not with the just the publishers, but with the readers and the agents and with the writing community. It helps to have ongoing projects and to keep submitting.
Right. So where can my listeners find you? You've talked about the fact that you're a blogger as well as a writer. Where can we find you?
Okay, well, my website is www.cerundle.com, and it should be the same with my blog spot. Actually, I think it's Christina E. Rundle at blogspot or .blogspot.com. And my email is cerundle@yahoo.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your time tonight, Christina. I really appreciate the fact that you've taken some time away from your writing to talk to us. Do you have any last thoughts that you might want to share before we call it a night?
I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I just want everyone out there listening who might be feeling a little bit down and out about the whole process, that it is very hard work. But there is somebody out there waiting to read the novel that, or short story even, that you're wanting to tell. And you never know how much that story is going to mean to somebody. So keep writing and keep trying.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Christina. As I said, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Why is it that you persist in saving the humans, Elena? Is it love? Is it nostalgia for what we once were? What purpose could you possibly have that could not be better served by a heart of gears and steam?
Jonathan Andrews thought that his life was turned upside down when he joined the secret society of wizards. but he had no idea what was in store for him. Join Jonathan and the others as they delve through the mystery that threatens all life on the planet. Listen to the free podcast at thegearheart.com.
And that's our show. If you'd like to leave feedback, comments, or questions, you can call the voicemail line at 206-203-2031. Or you can send me an email at feedback@getpublishedpodcast.com. Send me a friend request on Facebook or friend feed at Michael Plested, or follow me on Twitter at mplested. And I could really use some comments and ratings on iTunes too. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, work hard, never give up, and maybe you too can get published. Thanks for listening.
Get Published is an Irreverent Muse production.